So we've got this listener, Paul Pierce. You know what? On a Friday, I say, yee-haw, when we start off on a Friday. You know, you got to start with a bang. And Paul took that for himself. So any voice note we get on a Friday starts with, yee-haw, and everything. So Paul tells me about you see. And I take a skinner.
Yeah.
Because he says he was your backdoor neighbor when you... When you were young and everything.
Yes,
and but he says that you guys are doing amazing work and that we've got to get to know you and your husband. So I'm speaking to Pastor Sarah Jane Grieve. She's from Hope Hill Springs. Here in Springs, obviously. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, and you?
I'm doing
so
fine.
Good to be
and fabulous. Thank you very much. I love the slogan. Well, the slogan of the church says real hope for real people in a real world. And this is something I feel so passionate about. We're real people that live 100%. Hard lives and we've got to address the hard stuff. But I love the fact that you are a normal person, two arms, two legs, and a heart, doing stuff for Jesus.
Absolutely.
So let's introduce the normal girl, the one at home without the lipstick, midi pantoffels.
Love it. Let's go. Who are you? So, like you heard, my name is Sarah Jane. I am a mom. I've been married for 24 years and have three daughters. The oldest is 22 and then 20. And then I have a lot, Lamiki, who's turning 12.
Okay.
So,
and you're seriously done now. We're not going to try for a boy again.
I was never trying for a boy. It was always going to be a girl. We had a girl name for our third baby before we were even pregnant. So it was always God's plan. Yeah. No, we don't have the boy recipe. So we only know the girl one. But I've been in the ministry kind of all my life. I'm a pastor's kid as well and felt called to the ministry. I think God really called me to himself, not as his granddaughter, but as his own at the age of 14 and heard a call to the ministry immediately. And so I just always knew that worship and ministry and pastoring was going to be my thing. And so studied music after school and then got married and went straight into ministry. And my husband and I planted our... How much do you want? Must I keep going?
Yeah, that's very interesting. Go for it.
My husband and I planted our first church in Cape Town in... both grew up in Springs and then planted our first church in Cape Town in 2005, which next year is 20 years ago, I realized the other day. I'm like, well, how did that happen? Wow.
See, I understand God leading you to the Cape.
Yes.
Everybody understands God's leading you to the Cape.
Even me.
You say, hallelujah, yes, Lord. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you ended back in Springs.
We did, yeah. So after 10 years of being in the Cape, my husband just felt a call back to Springs. And so off we went. And I think he was a little more obedient to God than what I was. I was like, you go to Springs, I'm happy in Cape Town. You know, we'll be...
I feel your heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I fell in love with the city. It's just beautiful. And I caught up. He was right. We definitely needed to be back in Springs. And what a beautiful journey it's been for us being back there. You know, I was just sharing with you a few minutes ago about how God just full circled some things in my life. And when you're where you're supposed to be, where God has called you, there are some dreams that get fulfilled. There are some prayers that get answered. And there's some flourishing that happens in the moments of obedience. So, yeah, we're so happy. We really are loving it there. And we love that we've now recently, 3 months ago, planted our second Hope Hill Church in Pretoria. We meet at Railways Cafe on a Sunday morning at 9. And that's exciting as well. So it's so good to see God's kingdom advancing.
All right.
Yes.
So two questions. Number one, and I must just remember that second one so I don't forget it when you tell me your interesting stories. But the first one, a pastor's kid.
Yes.
PK is most.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't stay a Christian because it's the right thing to do.
No.
Not a pastor's kid.
Not a chance.
Because a pastor's kid sees all the stuff behind the scenes. What convinced your heart for sure, that the religion, and this is an inverted commas, you grew up with is the real thing when you know too much?
And I think if you circle back to the 90s, being a pastor's kid, that was a big year off. There were times, there really were times where we saw some things that were beautiful and were Jesus and were just the most amazing thing. And then there were other times where we saw a little bit of fake, you know. And I think a lot of fake.
Okay. Don't lie, this is Christian
fiction. Yeah, for sure. And I think there was a journey it's actually so beautiful because so many of my friends who are also pastors' kids are in the ministry today as well. That are also from, like, we grew up together. And seeing so many of them being the next generation, taking over their parents' churches and leading the kingdom. And I think it's just so beautiful. And really the only conclusion I can come to is that Jesus scooped us up in the middle of mess and showed us his heart, you know. And that, like, I feel like I was almost like... removed from any form of drama and mess and yuckiness that we might have seen behind the scenes. And he just said, you are mine. And I think that's what I heard. I heard Father say, Sarah Jane, you are mine. Mm. I called you by name. You are here for a purpose for this season, for this generation. And I need you to step up and lead my church. And I think that just hearing his voice was enough for me to know that I am not a product of my environment, a product of what I see, a product of fakeness. And it's led us as a generation, I think, also into a space to say that we are now here to be real,
yeah,
and to be honest and to be vulnerable and to say, hey, I'm not perfect. I'm not trying to be. There's some issues in my life I'm also navigating. So let's talk about the real things in life and lead people in an honest way rather than a fake version.
Because I think it's a good thing that you get to a place where you've got to evaluate whether
Absolutely.
What I believe is true or not.
100%.
That it's not a bad thing to be disillusioned,
yeah,
and even overwhelmed with all of the negative, because
yes,
you get to a split in the road where mm-hmm. you have to decide, do I run from him or do I run to him? Do I have
Absolutely.
Any choice? Because if you've got any doubt whether what you believe is real, you're
yeah.
going to run away.
100%. And only God does that deep in your spirit. Like you are... It doesn't matter how much you read pretty things. You know, the Bible has all these beautiful scriptures and that's wonderful, but that doesn't change our heart. And only God can go into the deep parts of our lives and restore our souls in the spaces that no one else can be in. And so it's not about convincing. It's about, I just know God knows me. And I know he heard, he spoke into my life and called me by name. And that's what makes me follow him every day. It's what makes me get up. It's what makes me continue to fight through difficulties and struggles. It's just knowing that Jesus is my savior and there is no other answer. He's the hope of the world. He's the hope of my world. And he's changed my life and changed my family. And that's what I keep following.
Yeah. Once again, that real hope for real people in a real world. Because
yes.
as a pastor, you get confronted with people who have problems that a quick scripture answer doesn't fix.
Yeah.
Because so much of the problems that we are confronted with is other people's choices and circumstances
yeah.
that we don't have any control over. And now here comes Tani Sari and she's sitting right in front of you
mm-hmm.
and she wants an answer, because people do expect answers
yes.
from the pastors,
well,
don't
sure.
they? So now you've had this conviction
yeah.
in your heart. This is real. And with that conviction comes, I take the bad with the good.
100%.
But in charismatic circles, we've sold the everything's going to be okay. God is a loving God, will make you rich and comfortable.
And famous.
Most. So is it hard sometimes? Because as a pastor, you stick with the people. You
yes.
do the journey with the people.
Yeah, you're in the mud with them.
To get someone moved from one conviction to a deeper place mm. with God.
You know what? I think the Holy Spirit is so faithful. And what I absolutely love is learning the boundary of where does my responsibility end and where does the Holy Spirit's responsibility mm. begin in somebody's life. And so I feel like in ministry, it's the most beautiful opportunity that we have to point people back to Christ and to say, look, I'm here. I'll walk the journey with you, but I want you to hear God's voice. You need to hear God's voice for yourself. You need to, when you're reading scripture, you've got to hear what is God saying to you in this process. And it's such a beautiful thing to be able to do that. So yeah, I think as long as somebody's heart is open to learning and to growing and to seeing God change their life, then it's easy. I think when we come with our own, like, this is how it is, and I'm sort of stuck in my kind of religious spirit or my own way of, or my selfish way of doing things, that's difficult to walk a journey. But it's beautiful when people's hearts are surrendered to God and saying, cool, God, whatever you want for me, let's go.
But you also have the wonder of music at your disposal to communicate with people and to connect with God. Tell
yeah.
me about your music.
Yeah, I love it. I have recorded an album, songwriter, producer, all of that sort of thing. And absolutely love the opportunity that we have in worship for that surrender moment, you know, to be able to actually just give it to Jesus, to surrender to him. And it opens our hearts in just such beautiful ways. And so, yeah, worship for me is an incredible moment of, I think too many of us are maybe still in a space where when we sing worship songs, it's about the words or it's about the, you know, it's just about singing along. It's almost like karaoke on a Sunday.
It's true. And it's very true.
I feel like, yo, are we not missing so much if it's karaoke? Like, yeah. God has the depths of his presence prepared for us. And in the depths of his presence is a place where we cast our burdens, where we give God our struggles and our troubles, and we exchange it for his hope and his peace and his presence. And so for me, that's what worship is. It's this beautiful, miraculous exchange that we're giving him our troubles and we're in turn receiving his direction and his strength and his peace.
I had a very interesting conversation yesterday where this guy, Vanna, he said that he doesn't want to call himself a worship leader because right there, you've got this expectation that he's got to lead you into the presence of the Lord. He calls himself a worshiper who worships.
Beautiful.
And if you come with, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's your choice.
Absolutely.
It's an opportunity for you to join him in worship. And that takes the responsibility the pressure off you to accomplish people entering his presence.
Absolutely.
So new music, because we had an interesting conversation with someone a while back saying churches who create new music, that they grow faster than churches who depend on 20 years back. You know, there's something to the newness of God's grace and his mercy that adds to a church.
100%. Yeah, well, I mean, I have written a few new songs in the last little while, and so it is definitely something that we have on our hearts. I think with us being a kind of new-ish church and establishing some things, we also did a church merger between our church, Hope Hill Church, and my parents' church, which was Word Christian Church back in the day. So sort of 3 years ago, we merged those two churches together. And so we're on a beautiful journey of our worship team is just so beautiful. It's amazing. We love, love, love worship. We have incredible worship nights once a term, which are just becoming these events, you know, these events of God's presence. We'd absolutely love it. And so, yeah, definitely new music is definitely something we are in the process of doing and writing and wanting to produce at some point.
Okay, well, Paul told me about the Audacious Women's Conference.
Yes.
I love that. It's got such attitude.
Even me, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Okay, so heart for women.
And I think attitude is a great explanation.
For
what my heart is around this conference.
Because we want to be bold and everything. Okay, 100%. Tell me. I'm not going to tell you what I think it says. Explain to me this.
All right, awesome. So Audacious Women's Conference speaks of bold and beautiful faith. And Proverbs 31 verse 25 says, "Bold power and glorious majesty are wrapped around her as she laughs with joy over the future." So for me, our Audacious Conference speaks about, you know, when you like with a bit of an attitude say, she had the audacity to say that to me.
Look at that face.
Right? She had the audacity, and like, how could she?
Yeah.
And so if we turn that for God, we say, do we have the audacity to believe what the Bible says? Do we have the audacity to burn for Christ? Do we have the audacity to be in the world but not of the world? Do we have the audacity to stand up and lead in our community the way that God has intended for us as women? And so I just have such a burn, a fire in me that I want to encourage other ladies to have and to believe in that fire, because it's the fire of the Holy Spirit. And as God burns in us, we lead our families well. We lead our businesses well. We're out there in society being the woman of Christ that God wants us to be, you know, to lead in society, to change our environments around us. And I just believe that we at some point need to start rising up, shoulders back, head up, just going, I have the audacity to believe what God has given me and to believe what the Bible says and be that woman.
Because you won't be that bold if you don't actually believe that you believe.
Absolutely.
That the word number one is as true as true can get.
That's
the ultimate truth. That God is truly the only God, that Jesus is. But life challenges your conviction, doesn't it? I mean, now life happens.
Yes.
And you believe God is my provider.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the account right in front of you and you don't have the money. And suddenly that's challenged.
Yeah.
And then the next time when you stand before someone, you've got to say, my God is the provider.
Hello.
There's this niggle at the back of your
heart. Exactly.
So how do you get past that one?
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's exactly what a conference like this is going to achieve, is to also talking about, well, the reality is, how do you burn for Christ when you struggle to believe? You know, how
in this broken world.
There are knocks all the time that we experience. I mean, we talk about having like our vision for our church is real hope for real people in a real world. And so in the real world, it's not pretty Sunday. It's not everything is amazing. We all look beautiful. We've got our lipstick on and we all dressed lekker and whatever. Monday to Saturday is the real world. And so the gospel has to work in the real world. And that's what we are doing. We're encouraging the ladies to stand up and believe what the word says, because in there is the life that we need to handle Monday to Saturday and to have the audacity to continue to believe through the week, and that it's not just a Sunday-based faith, but God has given us he's given us the tools to be able to be audacious every day of our lives.
And imagine women like that going to work, going to church, going to their communities, someone who's got that conviction and acts and speaks in that conviction.
Absolutely, because the Bible tells us that we will not fail when we have Christ. And so what does that look like when you feel like you're failing? What does it look like when you feel like you don't have an answer to the problem you have with your kids at the moment, and your heart is broken and you're struggling to even work through your own trauma from your childhood? And, you know, there's so much drama that we're encountering every day. And so we just want to give ladies some hope. We want to give them faith. We want to show them that there is always hope and give them the tools that they need to be able to walk away from this conference going, okay, I can implement that practically into my life and be an audacious woman.
And obviously it helps that a lady is grafted into a church as well. So they come to a conference like this, they hear the truth, but then when life hits, they've got a support system, someone they can call.
Oh man, we need
church. See you've got mentorship programs as well.
We do.
Time is up. I know, but tell me about it.
So if you go and have a look on Instagram, you can follow us, Hope Hill Church in Springs, and also Hope Hill Pretoria. But another Instagram page you can follow is Me and You Mentoring Hope Hill. And so what we do with our ladies is we have a once a month get together where there's small groups of ladies who meet, and we do like this year, for example, our theme is Girls with Swords. We're doing the Lisa Bevere book, Girls with Swords, and then every month we do a little bit about the next three chapters and chat it through. And then we have prayer partners between the meetings.
Good.
So every month you get a different prayer partner with the 10 ladies that are in your group, and it's about really showing up for each other as women. You know, we forget to show up for ladies, and we really need each other. Women need women. We need to talk. We need to unpack. We need to have somebody to help us de-stress. We just need each other. And then when you add the Jesus element of I'm also praying for you, there's just such a connection that happens between these women, and we are seeing such beautiful fruit from it. And we're seeing women heal. We're seeing them. Last year we did the book Captivating, and we saw so many women healing from their wounds because they have each other and they are focused on Jesus. And
it's so, a kingdom principle.
100%.
That's how Bride works. Our time is done. So how do people connect?
So they can go to our Instagram pages, our Facebook page,
Hope Hill Church. Just give me one.
Hope Hill Church.
Okay.
Yeah. So Hope Hill Church is a good one to do. And then, I can give you our church phone number if you want.
Please do so.
So that's 011-815-6671.
She's not in radio. Let's go slower.
Okay, sorry. 011-815-6671.
There you have it. Oh, I hope you're going to be an audacious woman going out. If you can't, join the people. It could be good.